We're holding the last word of Chofov on the base. We learned in the Mishnah about the cases of people who are possible edus. We had a half dozen categories, and then in the Gemara we had a few more. So now we're going to talk more about dinim involving edim that are possible. Itmar. They had a discussion between Amoraim as follows. Eid zoymim. So if you have an aid who turns out to be a zoymim, so it turns he gave edus in Nissan, for example, and then in Tishrei, other edim showed up and based in to say, Imanu HaYisem, you were with us at elsewhere at the time when you say this happened, and therefore, the Xeris HaKosov, as we'll say soon, that the Torah believes the second set of edim over the first set. So we know he's definitely going to be possible from now on, because they're obviously false edim. The question is, are they going to be possible retroactively? Abaya Omer Mafreyahu Nif. So Abaya says, in that case, he becomes possible retroactively. Meaning, anything that this person gave edus on, any time between Nissan and Tishrei, retroactively, he was declared zoymim in Tishrei, but it was about an edus that he gave the previous Nissan.
What about the edus that he gave before?
Edus that they gave before that, there's no question, because there's no reason to think. A yid has a chesed of kashrus. So we can figure that maybe first in Nissan is when he became a rasha and started giving false edus. We have no reason to worry about any edus of his from before that. But here we have an edus which he gave in Nissan, which now 6 months later in Tishrei it turns out is false. Abaya says anything that he gave edus from Nissan, no, it's not, because we're Rava and we kind of have blown it. So because Rava disagrees and says, for reasons that we're going to discuss soon, that only any edus that he says from now on will be possible, but not previously. Obviously, the one that they were mazimim on, obviously, is false. But we're talking about any other agent. He may have, for example, he testified, let's say, that in Nissan, Reuven borrowed $100 to, or let's say he testified that in Nissan, that Reuven broke Shabbos. Meanwhile, in Eir, he was one of the agents who signed on a document that Shimon borrowed money from Levi. And in Sivan, he was an aide for Kedushin, and, you know, so forth. So are those agents in possible? Yeah. Because the logic is, who from the moment that he gave that edus, which now turns out is false, it turns out he was a Rasha. Because that's what it is, meaning as of when he gave that edus, which turns out now to be false.
Wait a minute, the subsequent edus were after he was made.
Again, no, not after he was made a Zayin, which again, let's review the case. In Nissan, he comes to Beis Din and gives edus, for example, that Reuven broke Shabbos. And on such and such a date, in Nissan or in Adar, it doesn't really matter when he says it happened, whatever, that Reuven in Crown Heights broke Shabbos.
In Nissan,
he said that. Meanwhile, afterwards, in Eir, nobody knows he's an Eid Zayman yet, because nobody's come to conflict with him. Right. So therefore, in Eir, somebody comes and is one of the Eidim on a loan, and he signs on the document. Right. And in Sivan, they have him as an aide for Kedushin. And Tammuz is an aid on something else. That retroactive means retroactive to Nissan, as opposed to, that's what Abaya would say, as opposed to Rava would say, no, only in Tishrei, when other Edim come and say that he's an aid Zoymim, at that point, any Edus that he does from then on will be possible. But not any of the Edus that he did from Nissan until Tishrei.
When was he declared an aid Zoymim?
In Tishrei, when other Edim came against it. But Abaya is saying it's about, because it's an edus, that it's because it's about an edus, which he said in Nissan, and it turns out, therefore, that already in Nissan he was an aid Rasha, therefore that's it. Therefore he's a Rasha. The Torah says don't place your hand together with a Rasha, meaning Al Toshis Rasha aid. It means don't allow a Rasha to be an aid. He's a Rasha as of Nissan, because that's when he gave the edus, which it turns out is false. Therefore that's it. Any edus that he gave from Nissan onward is possible. Rovam and Kanawaha Bahum Nifso. Robert says we're only going to pass on him from now on,
after Tishrei,
because Eid Zoymim Chidush. Because after all, you have to figure, the whole concept of an Eid Zoymim is kind of a Chidush. Because you can ask, my cause is the Samcha Tahani, my Tahani. Because after all, you can really ask. I mean, generally, when you have two sets of Eidim contradicting each other, usually we just throw the whole thing out. The Eidus Mekheshes, we don't know which one to believe, so we just throw the whole thing out. This that the Torah is saying, that in this case, you believe the second Edim and you punish the first Edim with whatever they plan to do, that's a Chiddush. And therefore, Ein L'chaboy Ela M'shas Chiddush Ve'ela. Therefore, Rava says, you can only apply that Chiddush from the time when he was Mozab, from the time when they found him to be an Eid Zoymim, and not before that.
And is that the time when
the second set of Edim comes and says that, yes.
He wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, but that's Rava's logic, therefore, that we should only say that they're possible as Edom Zomim from when they become Muslim, not before that. Yes. Then, yes.
Is there a decision after the Edom proved that he's a Muslim?
Yeah, I mean, the Beis Din decides that they're Edom Zomim. They get whatever penalty they plan to do to the other person. We'll learn all about it in the Sefer Machlis in a few months, says the Shem. Yeah, and then also, in addition, because now they're an Ed Rasha, then therefore we learned this morning even that you don't even need a Hachraza, you don't even need an announcement to say they're Pasul Edos. That's it. From now on, they're Pasul Edos until we know they did Shuvah. The Rambam actually describes, I think it was in today's Perek Echad, that how do we know they did tshuva when, for example, somebody in the future offers them money to testify falsely and they don't take it, and it's a substantial amount of money and they're willing to forego it, then we know they did tshuva. Okay, so that's Rava's svar. Ikadamri, another version is Rava Knami Kabayas Tridalei, that basically, according to the second version, no, Rava would agree with Abaya that it ought to be the Masreya from Nissan onward. Umatam Kama Mikano Lahaba. So, according to the second version, why does Rava say that it should only be Mikano Lahaba, only from Tishrei and on, Mishum Pesedu Lakopas? Because, after all, then there's going to be a loss to anybody who bought anything during that time. Imagine, for example, somebody bought property sometime between Nissan and Tishrei. They didn't know the guy is an Eid Zomim. They didn't know he's a Rasha, and they had him as one of their Eidim. Now you're going to have that. You're going to make him afraid he's possible, and therefore you're harming some innocent person. You know. Hey, that may also be. Say to the Lakofas, like this, the Lakofas is going to lose out. He doesn't have a kosher aid. He's made one or more of the Eidim on his shtar. Turns out to be possible. So the question is, my binayu, what is the practical difference between these two reasons we're giving for Rava? The answer is, ikka binayu dafidu beit shrei b'chad. The nafkamina would be, suppose you have two edim against one. Now, what does that mean? Rashi explains that it means that you have two sets, you know, again, the original edim, you have Reuven and Shimon come to Beis Din and say that such and such happened. Now, the normal situation would be that you'd have eventually Levi and Yehuda come to Beis Din, let's say in Tishrei, and say about both Reuven and Shimon, Imanu Hayisim, you were with us elsewhere. In this case, Rashi learns the situation is that suppose you have that true Edim, let's say Levi and Yehuda, come and say to Reuven, Imanu Hayisim, you were with us elsewhere, and separately two other Edim, Yisachar and Zvulun, come and say to Levi, you also Imanu Hayisim, you also were with us. You also were with us elsewhere. So therefore, you have two Edom against each one of them. So if you're going to say then the matter of that's a chiddush, it's not really such a chiddush, that you should believe two Edom against one is not a particular chiddush. Of course, two Edom are stronger than one. Therefore, you can't say the first reason, ein l'chabay el mishas chiddush of Eilam. That Tosfos talks about that. Hold on. As opposed to, according to the second reason, say to the Lakochas, the fact is, for Lakochas, they still didn't know, they still had no way of knowing between Nissan and Tishrei that the guy is an Eid Zayman. Okay, Tosfos asks on that, indeed, that what we know, Trei Kameya, two Edom are the same strength as 100. So what's the difference whether you have two Edom against two Edom or whether you have four Edom against two Edom? Why would that make a difference? So Tosfos talks about that what it means is that they were only Mazim one of the Edom. Normally, to be Mazim, for it to be considered Edom Zomim, you have to be able to be Mazim both of them. You have to be able to say on both of them, Imanu Hayisim. If you're only able to be Mazim one of them, it's not considered Edom Zomim. In fact, we'll learn in Makkos, we'll learn that Yehuda ben Tabai made a mistake on that and thought that you can punish them in a situation like that until Shimon and Shabbat corrected him. We'll talk about that later. So therefore, in other words, again, to say two against one is not a particular chiddush, because after all, fine, two of them are being Mazim one. Okay, it's two against one. But that we should say to the Lakochas, that maybe we don't want to. Inami, or another possibility, the Pasulina Begazlanusa. Here's another possibility. What if the Eidos is not that they're Eidim Zomim, that it turns out that what they testified in Nissan was false, but rather, let's say other Eidim come in Tishrei and say these guys are Gazlanim, but they stole something in Nissan. So then, if it's a matter of the Chiddush of Eidim Zomim, there's no Chiddush over there. It's not, you believe the second one over the first one. Here, if they're being made on a completely out of side thing. So therefore, you should accept it and say they're also retroactive to Nissan. But if you're going to look at it from the point of view of Sage of the Lakochas, still, again, the Lakochas had no way of knowing that these guys were Gazlanim in Nissan time. So what's the bottom line? The Amr of Yumi Abidikti, Ovid Rapapi Ogre Kavasei Derob. So Rav Papi, one time Paskin actually like Rav, to say therefore that these guys are not possible from when they gave the Eidus, retroactively to when they gave the Eidus, only as of when they become Eidim Zed. On the other hand, Ma'abar Ravashi says the halacha is like Abaya, and this is one of the six examples. This is one of the six cases where the halacha is like Abaya. This is the ayin of Ya'al Kagan, is this case of Eid Zayin. Well, so Taka, why should it be? One interesting idea is that a number of... he said there were two reasons. Yeah. The one is because of the Chiddush and the other is Seder Lekukas. But actually, according to the reason of...
But
Rav is saying that's why you can't do it in Afreya. On the other hand, though, the Torah brings, based loosely on something that the Ramban says on the Pesukim, that actually there is a bit of a logical reason behind the concept of Eidim Zemir. It's not totally a Chiddush. It's not something completely out of left field as there is a Kosov. There is a logic because the second Eidim are saying Eidus about the first Eidim. They're saying what happened with the Eidus itself. Maybe Reuven killed Shimon on the day you say, maybe he didn't. Maybe Reuven broke Shabbos on the day you didn't. Maybe he lent him money on whatever. We don't know. What we know is you weren't there. So they're saying Eidus on them. So therefore it's similar to saying Eidus that they're Gazlonim. So it's not necessarily such a chiddush, and therefore we can tackle say that on Afreya. Because the fact is, the logic is, like Abaya says, as of when they said, turns out now, as of when they said the Eidus in Nissan, they were Rishoyim. The Lekuchas, tough luck. There's nothing we can do about it. The fact is, they should have done background investigation before they end.
You're saying that if it's a chiddush, it can be the Afreya, basically? Is that the logic?
Rava is arguing if it's a chiddush, that would be a reason not to do it on Afreya. Therefore, if we can find a logical reason to say it's not such a chiddush, then we can apply a bias reason after all.
Because
if it's not such a chiddush, so why should it be a problem to say once they said possible ages, once they said ages, which turns out to be a lie, that they should be possible from that point onwards? And therefore, because why they said, Al-Toshas Rosha Aid. You're not allowed to make a Rosha be an aid like this as of when they gave that aid to Nissan, they're Roshoyim. We didn't find out until Tishrei. Okay, but now that we found that in Tishrei, we know that as of Nissan already, they were Roshoyim. And therefore, we should pass on the Eidus of theirs from then on. You're saying Eidim Zomer is a Chiddush? It's not such a Chiddush. You can find a logical reason. A Chiddush means that you wouldn't think there's a logical reason why the Torah should believe the second set of Eidim over the first one. Logically, we should say, fine, we don't know who's telling the truth, the first or the second set. Let's just throw the whole thing out. Instead, we don't say it. We punish the first set of Eidim, and we accept the second set.
We don't bring a third to confirm.
Never mind, we don't throw out the whole case. Rava argues that that's a chiddush, that's a xeris akasim, like. So therefore, there's no reason to apply it any more broadly than necessary. But now, if we can find a reason that's not such a chiddush, there is a logic behind it, it's not just a xeris akasim, then we have reason enough to say that... Because a person can't give aidos on himself. The Ramban adds that and in his Pirush on the
Pasuk.
Never mind Eidon Meisim Atma Rosh, this is a different thing. They can't be made on themselves. When the second set of Eidim come and say, Mono Ayyim, you were with us in California. Never mind Gazlon. Well, that's Gazlon is a different thing, but we're talking about... By Gazlon, it's just an ordinary thing. Because if two Eidim come against two other Eidim and say, you're Gazlonim, fine. If the Torah believes two Eidim. If two new Eidim are coming and saying about the two old ones, they're Gazlonim, well, we interrogate them, obviously, but if everything checks out, we believe them just like we would believe Eidim that come on anything else, just like if they come and just like if Eidim
throw it out.
No, therefore we don't throw it out. Therefore we say the second set of Eidim are correct, the first one are Gazlonim. Fine, we're not going to make them Eidim Zomimin because they're not Eidim Zomimin. They don't get the penalty that they expected to give to the first person. However, they are possible Eidim because they're Gazlonim. If they bring proof, if they then bring other Eidim, if they're not Gazlonim or whatever, then fine. Then
where's the Chiddush?
The Chiddush is as far as Eid Zomim. The idea that when we make them Eidim Zomim, that we should say, believe the second set and not the first set,
that's
a Chiddush. On the face of it, is a Chiddush. But on the other hand, based on the Torah's reason, based on the Ramban's reason, maybe it's not such a Chiddush. Because there is logic to say that you believe two Eidim when they come to Beis Din and say, Imono Ha'yisav, just like you believe them about anything else that they would say about a person's status. Okay. Anyway, so that's how it is. That's one of the six halachas where the halacha is like a mind. Let's move on. Another case. Mumer oichel nevelos l'teyave. If you have a mumer, really the word is supposed to be mishumer, the center has changed it. This is the last one of Yau Kagam, indeed. So you have a mumer, mishumer, oichel nevelos l'teyave, where he eats nevela l'teyave because it tastes good, basically. Hmm. There's two different reasons the person could do an avera. One, nevela means trace of food. There could be two reasons why a person does such an avera. One is latte oven because it tastes better, because it's cheaper, whatever. The other reason could be lahachit. It's just as the price is the same, the taste is the same, but dafka to anger the Eivishter, he does it. But here we're not talking about lahachit, because then definitely, actually lahachit is going to be the machlokes. So mumo oichel nevelos latte oven. Hold on. Yeah, so if he does it latte oven, then divrei hakol potel. Everybody would agree he's potel leiders, because then he's doing an avera that has to do with money. What does it mean he's doing a latte oven? He's doing it because it's cheaper. He's doing it because it's cheaper. It's easier to get. Therefore, that's Rasha of Chamos. When the Torah says, Al Parshas Yadcha in Rasha, Liyas Ej Chamos, the primary thing the Torah is concerned about is where it's an Isser involving money. Here it involves money. If he's willing to eat Trefus, if he's willing to eat a McDonald's in order to save a couple of bucks, he might also be willing to testify falsely in order to get to earn a couple of bucks. So therefore, he's definitely possible. We talked this morning, by the way, there is a machlokes rishonim, whether we learned this morning about Rav Nachman saying that a person who's kosher ba'al arayas is kosher la'edus. So we discussed, would Rav Nachman say that arayas maybe is an exception to the general rule? Ordinarily, a person is over on any avera which is chayef malchus or misses based in will make him kosher la'edus, as long as he knows it's an avera. But maybe arayas are an exception because the person has a particularly powerful yetzer for it. Or maybe not. This is the nevelos or arayas, anything like that. Okay, anyway.
We conclude
the halacha is like the second possibility. Any avera where there's malchus or greater, and people know that it's an avera, then he's postulated. So there, loichon nevelos is one.
I didn't totally get around the problem that if he only vets one guy, you don't get the whole group.
Wait, what?
If only one aid is mazumam, but
oh well, fine. You don't punish them as aidim zayman, but nevertheless, you still find that he's a liar, and therefore he's postulated. He's still an aid chama.
And we would still hunt down whatever groups he was part of.
One aid zayman can't get punished as an aid zayman because you need two of them to be more than them. Yeah. You know, aid him not in zayman, she is zayman kulam. Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, we'll learn about it in Makkos in a few months, Beis Hashem. We'll learn about a story involving Yehuda ben Tabai, where he one time Taka executed such an aid zomim. He wanted to prove against the Tzedukim, because there's a famous thing, Kasher Zomim, but like Kasher Alta. He wanted to show that it's not like that, but he made a mistake. There's only one aid, and it had to be both of them. So Shemim Mishadach had to correct him. We'll talk about it. We'll learn about it in Makkos, Beis Hashem, in a few months.
We'll examine all the guys he's partnered up with to see that
Okay. Yeah, you just throw out the testimony because unless you have two other kosher aidim. Okay. So mumo echol nevelos latei oven divrei hakol potel lahachis. What if the guy eats nevelos lahachis? It costs just as much, it tastes just as, but he's doing it dafka to anger the eidishter. Abaya am apostle, Rava am a kosher. Abaya says that he's apostle leidus, Rava says he's kosher. Abaya am apostle, same idea. To have a lead rosha because they need a rosha. V'rachmana am al tarshas rosha eid. Torah says don't make a rosha an eid. Period. The Rava Amar Kosher, because Rosha the Chamos, because Rava says the kind of Rosha who's possible Eidos is one where his Aveda has to do with money. Here, there's no money involved. Therefore, there's no reason to think that he's going to be willing to say false Eidos for money. That's what Rava is learning. When I said, when the Pasuk says, Al Parshas Yadcha in Rosha, Liyas Eid Chamos, Chamos means robbery or other monetary issues or whatever. So it has to be for money. Okay, the Gemara says, Maisvi, I have a contradiction. You're telling me according to Rava, that if he's over on other Avedas, he can still be kosher as an aid. But a Braita says, when it says, Al Toshas Rosha aid, Al Toshas Chomos aid, it says, don't make a Rosha or Chomos an aid, Ebel Gazlonin or Merlin Rishvois. This refers to Gazlonin. It also refers to people who are careless, who violate Shvois. Now, my lab, echad shavuos shav, echad shavuos mammon. Before the shavuos in the plural means two kinds of shavuos. One which involves money, one does not involve money. A shavuos shav is, for example, a person swears, let's say, that he says, this stone pillar over there, I swear that it's made out of stone, or it's something blatantly obvious to the shavuos shav. Or it could also be shavuos sheker, where he says that it's made of stone, and he says it's made of gold, whatever. Anyway, that has nothing to do with money. And Shavuos Mammon would be, for example, where somebody throws him in Basin and he swears falsely on the claim or whatever. So then in that case, you see that even somebody who's cautious on Shavuos that have nothing to do with money is postulated against Rava. The answer is no. I divide Shavuos Mammon. No. By Shavuos, we can mean the different kinds of Shavuos that involve money. Or my Shavuos, why are we saying Shavuos in the plural? We just mean Shavuos Alma. We just mean the many different kinds of Shavuos involving Mammon that are out there. doesn't necessarily mean if he's chashered on Shavuot, if he's the kind of guy who swears Shavuot Shav, that's a stone pillar, for example, that wouldn't necessarily pass him late, says Rava. Makes it fine, but I have another contradiction. This one against Abaya. Another bright says Al Toshas Rosh Aid, Al Toshas Chomos Aid, Elo Gazlonin Umabi Ribis. This refers specifically to Gazlonin and people who lend at Ribis, implying, now those two things Davka have to do with money, implying nothing else, no Aveda that doesn't have to do with money. Tiyupta Dabaya, that's a contradiction against Abaya. Yes, Tiyupta, it's a contradiction. We just said it's one of the six things Halacha is like him. Name the Ketanoi. Shall we say that this Machloikas Abaya and Rava is actually the subject of a Machloikas Tanoi? Abraita says, Eid Zomim Possel Cholatorah Kola Divir Meir. Reb Meir says that an Eid Zomim is possible to testify in anything in the entire Torah. Mafreya or Lava, as we said, the subject to the previous Machloikas. Reb Yossi Yom HaBemendram Amurim Shehuzam B'dinin Nefoshes. Reb Yossi says, only if he was Huzam in Dinin Nefoshes, so he testified in Beis Din, he wanted to have somebody executed, and it turns out now that he was an Eid Zomim, so he's possible for any other Aegis. Avil Huzam B'dinin Mominus, Kosher B'dinin Nefoshes. But if he was Muzam in Dinin Mominus, says Reb Yossi, he's still Kosher B'dinin Nefoshes. Because you don't assume, because what you say is that there's a concept called the choshu b'davar acham or choshu l'kal, that if a person is suspect of being over on a more serious aveda, then you also have to suspect that he'll be over on a more lenient one in that category, but not the other way around. So if a person is willing to testify falsely on Aedus Mammon, where after all, I mean, what does it mean? It means that money is going to be taken away illegally. Fine, it's reversible eventually, when the mistake is, as of therefore, we wouldn't suspect him on Dinin Nefashis. Then Dinin Mammon is as well, yeah. So name Abaya to Reb Meir, Rava to Reb Yossi. So it sounds like then we could say Abaya holds like Reb Meir, therefore Reb Meir says he's possible to Chola Torah Kula, because even though maybe his Aedus Sheker had nothing to do with Dinin Mammon, it had to do with Dinin Nefashis, whether Dinin Mammon or Dinin Nefashis. Choshel the davar achomer, choshel the davar akal, but not the other way around. So Abaya seems to go like a mayor. Therefore, that oichon nevelus is somebody he's over on a mitzvah ben adam lamakas. He's not over on a mitzvah ben adam lachaver, right? As opposed to when he's made edus sheker when it comes to money, then it's both. It's rala shemayim v'rala briyah. He's being over on the sanam le'beracha edus sheker, which is the mitzvah of the edusha. Plus, he's wronging another person, so that's worse. That's chomer. So it sounds like Abaya who holds he's possible would be like Reb Meir, who also said he's possible, and Rava, who holds that he could be kosher, even if he was made on one, he can still be falsely, he can still be made on the other, would be like Reb Yossi. So, well, if we say that, then it's Machlokas Tanoim. Fine, then all we have to do is figure out which of the Tanoim is the Din like, and then we know. Abaya would be going like Reb Meir, to Omer Amrinin Mikulu L'chumra, that we say even though he was only over on a mitzvah that's more kal, for example, something which is only Rala Shemayim, he's still also koshered also on Rala Briyos.
Rala Shemayim is more kal.
Rala Shemayim. Any testifying falsely is Rala Shemayim by definition, as being over on a mitzvah of Eivishta. Chomer is when it involves, exactly. Well, Reb Meir is talking about Dinin Mominus and Dinin Nefashis. Yeah, Dinin Mominus is more cow than Dinin Nefashis, where it's irreversible, yeah. So Abaya would be going like that, but Rava Dama could Reb Yossi, whereas Rava would be agreeing with Reb Yossi, Dama Mechumra L'Kul Amrin, where Reb Yossi says that you say once he's choshered on something more chomer, he's also choshered on something more cow, Mikula L'Chumra L'Amrin, but we don't say the other way around. So then in that case, the Machlokes is Tanoim. Yes, this answer is that loy. No, we don't have to explain the machlokes that way. I'll live it to Reb Yossi kolam lately. When it comes to Reb Yossi's opinion, nobody argues. In other words, there's no way, Taka, you can say that Abaya agrees with Reb Yossi. According to Reb Yossi, who says that you testified falsely on Dinin Mominus, you're able to testify from now on Dinin Nefoshes, Abaya definitely can't agree with that. Because Abaya would say that it doesn't matter. Once you're over on any Abaya, but made it, then you're possible late. He pleaded I'll leave it to Reb Meir. Rather, the Machloikas, which is Abaya Rava, would be within Reb Meir. So what is it? Abaya could Reb Meir. Abaya says straight out like Reb Meir. Just like Reb Meir says, you're possible for one, you're possible for everything, in either direction. So also Abaya would say, you ate Nevelos, then you're possible for everything. Rava would answer like this. He would say, Reb Meir might not disagree in this case. Ad kam lekom Reb Meir hosim alagaba eid zoymen, demomen. What is Reb Meir saying over there? He's talking about an Eid Zomim where it involves money. the Ra L'Shamayim, the Ra L'Bris, where it's a double Ra. Testifying falsely on money is taka a double Ra against the Eibishter and against other people. So therefore, the mayor might argue in that case, taka it doesn't matter whether it was Dini Mominus or Dini Nefoshes. Either way, it was a double Ra. He was Oiran Ben Onu Lamokim, he's Oiran Ben Onu Lachavera, and that's enough reason to pass on him from any aid. Abel, ha-ha. But when it comes to somebody who eats Nevela, the Ra L'Shamayim, the Ein Ra L'Bris, it's over on a mitzvah Ben Onu Lamokim to eat Shreifer. But it's not it's not Rala Bria, it's not affecting anybody, at least not on an obvious level. So Lloyd, maybe not. Maybe the mayor would agree that the person could be kosher lehem.
Right, I understand Rava's principle, but there's nothing more kavur, more chamur in a nevela.
It is because nevela, again, nevela is kal in the sense not in the sense of the punishment. Nevela is kal in the sense that it's only an offense against the Eibishter. As opposed to testify, the punishment for Nevelis would be Malchus. But that's neither here nor there. The point
and
is Mominus could also be Malchus. It could be Malchus, it could be Mista, but that's... No. Well, with Mominus, it's not necessarily going to be Malchus. Usually with Mominus, it would just be he'd pay whatever. It would Dini Mominus, it would just be he'd pay whatever.
Nevela is more Chomer.
No, because Rava is saying that the Kalam Chomer is not necessarily as far as punishment, but as far as who you're going against. Is it any false Eidur is going against the Eidur? But Nevelos is only against the Eidur, and not against another Yid. So therefore, you might argue somebody who's eating Nevelos Lahachet, fine, he's angry at the Eidur, therefore he's going to adopt to go and eat at McDonald's, even though there's kosher meat available. That doesn't mean that he would be such a low life that he would go and testify falsely against another Yid.
Right.
Whereas our buyer would hold he is.
He has to be objective. It's your objective.
And what is objective? I mean, no. You don't always go according to the punishment. No, you don't always. The Feder Shnah. The Hilchta Kavasei Dabai. Okay, so the halacha is like a bai. The question is the Hoytosa. We slogged him up before. What do you mean the halacha is like it? The answer is Ahi Rav Yosi. That braisa that we quoted before that we used to slog up a bai is according to Rav Yosi. You still have it now that we established that there's machlokas tanoim, and now that we established that Abaya and Rava are both arguing within what Rav Meir says, fine, the halacha can be like Rav Meir, and therefore it's not a problem to Abaya. And the question is, if it's a heavy nami Rav Yosi, fine, let's say that Braya says like Rav Yosi. So what? The usual rule is Rav Meir or Rav Yosi, halacha Rav Yosi. When you have a machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yosi, the halacha is generally like Rav Yosi. So that still slogs up Abaya. We said Abaya can't be agreeing with Rav Yosi. So what are we talking about? The answer is shiny hot, and it's different in that case. The Sotam Lantana Kid of Mayor, because we find a Stam Mishnah which goes according to the mayor's opinion. The Hecha Sotam against Rav Yehi. So that's so different than the usual rule. And we know the usual rule is halacha. Usually we don't have a Stam Mishnah like that. But in this case, here we do, and the halacha is usually like a Stam Mishnah. Yes. So the question is, the Hecha Sotam, where do we find such a Stam Mishnah? So we will find that out from the following story. He held a Bar Choma Kotel Nafsha. It once happened, Bar Choma, that was the person's name, wanted to kill the person. Amalei Resh Galusa L'Rav Abba Bayakov, so the Resh Galusa says to Rav Abba Bayakov, Puk Ayinba, go out and check out the situation, go judge the case, see whether he's taka guilty, whether he's taka solid evidence against him. He Vadei Kotel, and if he taka definitely killed this person, L'chiyuhu L'Einei, then let them blind his eyes. So what does that mean? Rashi gives three explanations of what it means. First of all, you have to realize this is after Mrs. Basin no longer exists, because this, first of all, this is in Babel, they didn't have smicha anyway, but besides that, this is a couple of hundred years after the Churban. So it's long after Sanhedrin left the Lushka Sagada. So there's no more Dini Nefashos. However, so Rashi's first explanation is, we have a rule, we're going to learn later on in our Masechta, that Basin is allowed to punish people where necessary to keep society functioning, even in a way that's not allowed, even though in a way that would be irregular according to the usual rules. They're allowed to in emergency situations. So this may have been that, and therefore they have reason to put out his eyes. Second explanation, Rashi says, that L'chiru L'Einei doesn't mean literally put out his eyes. It means they should confiscate all his money and give it to his Yorshim. And the third explanation, Rashi says, is what? That'll be a penalty to him because that means the expression "take out his eyes" means only partial to mess. It'll be like a full person. It'll be like as if he was dead. Yeah, and a blind person is also like as if he was dead. Yeah. And the third explanation, Rashi says, is put him in a chayv. Anyway, Rashi says Rashi prefers the first explanation that it means they would actually put out his eyes. Is that it? Yeah. Okay.
So he said he killed him. He was Mike.
He wasn't Mike. But we have to check out the situation. If we find that there's valid evidence against him, yeah. So also Trey Sadi Asubade Vade Kotel. Two Adim came and said, sure enough, this Bachama killed this person. However, Ozel Ihu Isi Trey Sadi, however, Bachama himself was sitting still there, he brought two Adim on his behalf, Asidube Bachad Mehanach, to say Ados against these other two, not to make an Adim Zayman, but to declare that these two Adim are Gazlonim, and therefore they're Potel Ados. If there's no Ados, therefore there can't be any penalty.
They cannot be Zayman.
Yeah, they can't be Zayman. Well, not really, no. They found that they were possible. They found that they were, yeah, either one or the other. In this case, two Adim came, and they gave Ados against one of them, or only against one of them. They didn't have to be Mazim or Papa both Adim. All they had to do is Papa one of them, that's enough, because you only have one Adim. One Adim is not enough to do anything. So what happened? Chad Omer, one of these Adim who's brought against the Aid, who's against Bachama. So again, you have Bachama is on trial over here. Two Adim are coming against him that he killed. Now you have two other Adim against one of those Adim, trying to pass them. One of them gives Ados, Chadam, a Kamai Didi Gun of Kabo de Chushla. One of them says that in my presence he stole a calf of peeled barley, which makes him a goblin, therefore he's also Ados. But Chadam, and the other one says, Kamai Didi Gun of Kata de Burzia. In my presence he stole the handle of a spear. Of a spear, or the Oroch brings another possibility that maybe it means the handle of a drill.
Yeah.
Brutia means either a drill or a spear. Whatever it is. As, by the way, the Farshim talk about, so does that mean that the two Adim against the person, can it be two different Averis? What if, for example, one of them has come and said he stole, and the other one said, let's say that he ate chili, or whatever. Would that combine? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it has to be the Gemara is mentioning over here. But maybe, after all, they're both things that possible as an aid. So maybe it combines, maybe not. In the Gemara over here, we have the Halach, I don't remember, actually. Yeah. Amalei. So in that case, then the guy is possible later. So in that case, we have to throw out the whole case. Amalei. So he says to him, who is this? I guess this is Rav Abba by Yaakov asked the Reish Galusa. So what are you going to think then? My guy just killed a mayor. So what are you going to think then? The halacha is like a mayor that once these guys are choshered on Momon and they're choshered on Edus Nefashis, and therefore they're possible Edus for this Edus Nefashis. Dr. Mayor Rabbi Yossi, halacha for Rabbi Yossi. If you have a machlokes or mayor and Rabbi Yossi, again, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, halma who's a medini mammon is kosher the dini nefashis. And Rabbi Yossi says even if he was found to be an aid zoymin when it comes to dini mammonis, you can still accept him as an aid for dini nefashis. So therefore, fine, they found that he stole. What does that prevent him from giving aidus against his baal chomer?
Because it's
not zoymin, it's possible, but it's the same idea. Just because he's possible, dini mammonis, according to Rabbi Yossi, doesn't make him possible dini nefashis.
Which this case is about.
Which this is exactly what we're talking about. Amalei Rapapi, however, then Rapapi says to him, Hani Mila Heshekel Esopa Montana Kedameir. That's true, though, only in a place where we don't have a Stam Mishnah like Rameir. Hocha Sosam Montana Kedameir. Here we have a Stam Mishnah like Rameir, as we said in the previous piece of Gemara. So now, in the course of the story, we're going to figure out, because Rapapi and Rav Acha Brevi Rav Yaakov are going to discuss back and forth which Mishnah are we talking about. Here we have a Stam Mishnah like Rameir, therefore the halacha has got to be like him. Therefore, yes, when a person is koshered on Mamun, as in this case, then he's koshered on the Fashas, and therefore he can't give Ados against Baal Chomer. Okay, so the question is, Mimai, where do you see such a Stam Mishnah like Rameir? Ilema Mehalditznan, are you going to say that the Mishnah that we learn as follows, Toleroi Lobin Dini Nefashas, Roi Lobin Dini Mamanis. The Mishnah says a general rule, anybody who's capable of judging, anybody who's suitable for judging Dini Nefashas is also suitable to judge. Here we're talking as Dayanim, not as Aiden. Here we're talking as Dayanim, that anybody who's kosher to judge Dini Nefashas is also kosher to judge Dini Mamanis.
Didn't we say we have to be a Mumcha and Dini Mamanis to judge Dini Mamanis?
To judge Dini Nefashas, you have to be a Mumcha for sure. So therefore, if you mumcha to judge dini nefashas, you're also kosher to judge dini mamonis. So the question is, Mani, who would that be like? Ilemi Rabbi Yossi. Here, you're going to say that Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yossi? No, can't. Ha'ika aid lemim de mamon. What about the case of, suppose one of these dayanim previously served as an aid, and he turned out to be an eid zayin in a case of mamon, the kosher the dinin of kosher is a possible dinin mamon. According to Rabbi Yosi, because he's kosher on mamon, therefore he can't give eidos on mamon anymore, but therefore he's also possible to judge dinin of kosher, to judge dinin mamonis rather, but he'd still be kosher for dinin, still be kosher for eidos in the kosher as well as for dinin of kosher, according to Rabbi Yosi. So obviously that mishnah can't be like Rabbi Yosi. El alav Rabbi Meir. You must say that that Mishnah is like a mayor. Is that the Mishnah that Rapapi is referring to, or that on the previous piece of Gemara was referring to, that we see that there is a Stam Mishnah like a mayor? But no, because Mimai, who says that that's what the Mishnah is coming to talk about? Duma of Psula Yuchsin Toy. Maybe all the Mishnah is telling us is the concept of Psula Yuchsin. We're going to learn in the next parak that the members of a Beis Din for Dinin Nefashos, but not Dinin Mamonis, have to be, they have to be Menukin Mikol Mum. They can't have any Mum in their Yichud. They can't have any floor in their Yichud. For eight Dayanim, for Dinin Nefashos, can't have any floor in their Yichud. So therefore we're saying, any judge, any Dayan who's kosher for Dinin Nefashos is automatically kosher for Dinin Mamonis, because by Dinin Mamonis you don't even have such a condition. Which the Mishnah continues. Therefore, you have people who are able to judge dinim mamonis, and even things like knossos and whatever for which you need mokim, but not kosher to judge dinim nefashos. For example, somebody who has a psul and is yichud. So therefore, maybe that's all the Mishnah is trying to tell. The ilay teimahachi, and after all, because if you're not going to say like that, say for the katani, if you're going to understand that the Mishnah is talking about a case of an eid zomen by dinim mamonis, and you're going to say that the Mishnah is implying that he's kosher to judge dinim nefashos, like what Rameir is saying. What are you going to do with Sefer? What are you going to do with the Sefer of the Mishnah, the Katani, which continues, Yesh Roy Lodin Dini Mominus. You have a case of people who are kosher to judge Dini Mominus. They ain't Roy Lodin Dini Nefashis, but they're not kosher to judge Dini Nefashis. Am I in a Roy? So you'd have to ask. If you're going to say the case is, the first case of the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah is talking about a case where it was an Eid Zomim of Dini Mominus, am I in a Roy? It's a Dini Nefashis. So what would it be? How would you have a person who's ainer roi lo din dinin nefashos? How would you have a person who's not capable of judging dinin nefashos? According to the mayor, would have to be that he's an eid zayim and dinin nefashos. So what then? Roi lo din dinin mamonis. What do you mean he's roi lo din dinin mamonis? Well, divrei hakapostel. Both according to the mayor and according to the yosi, yes, definitely he's koshered on something chomer that he'd be willing to have somebody executed for no reason. For sure, he's koshered on davar akal for dinin mamonis. So obviously the Mishnah, when it says that when you have a case of a person who's able to judge dinim mamonis but not dinim nefashos, it can't possibly mean he's not kosher to judge dinim nefashos because he's an eid zayim about dinim nefashos. That wouldn't work. Then he is possible to judge dinim mamonis as well.
According to both.
Obviously that part of the Mishnah must be talking about psul yuchsin. The same thing, the first part of the Mishnah can be talking about psul yuchsin. So it's not a stam Mishnah like Reb Meir, because it's not talking about a completely different topic.
Well,
we still don't know yet. We still have to figure out. Bechura, the usual rule is halacha is like Reb Yosi against Reb Meir. No, rather we can find the stam Mishnah like Reb Meir, the following Mishnah, in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah. It lists over there the people who are possible to give Eidos for Eidos HaChodesh, to come to Beis Din to testify that they saw the new moon. It says, Elohein HaPsulim, the following people are possible to testify for that. Many of them are the same ones as our Mishnah, the same characters as we met in our Mishnah. Masakas Kukovia, gamblers, Omal with Ribbit, people who lend or borrow for that matter at Ribbit, Omal Kricha Yonim, the ones who make doves fly, as we talked about, either that they use one dove to lure other people's doves, or they gamble on pigeon races, the Sefer Shvius, when they sell fruit of Shemitah, the Havadim. That Mishnah adds an extra one, Avadim, and the Mishnah continues, Avadim are possible Eidos for any Eidos. Our Mishnah didn't mention it, because primarily our Mishnah was talking about ones who are either our Mishnah was listing only ones that are possible Mishum Avera, or it's listing only ones that are possible Jabban. Avadim is not Mishum Avera, and they're possible Daraita. So they didn't really fit in our Mishnah, but over there it mentioned. And the Mishnah continues, Zakhval, the general rule, call Eidos She'ene Isha Kshayrala, any Eidos that a woman is not kosher for, Apenin Kshayrala. So also, any of these people would not be kosher for. As opposed to, for example, to testify to a woman that her husband has died, that she can remarry, a woman is kosher for such a thing, therefore these people are also kosher. Yes, we learned it in Yavamah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so...
she is believed when she says her husband...
Not her own husband, but her own husband, because then that's testifying for herself. But if one woman if Rachel comes and tells Leah, your husband, I was with your husband when he died, then that's evidence enough, yeah. Yeah, we don't do any wrong.
These people are just like...
So the same thing. So the same thing with these people, yeah. So we have to ask Mani, who is that Mishnah like? Elamed of Yosi, are you going to say that it agrees with Rabbi Yosi? But you have other examples of people that are postal, you have other cases of people who are postal for one kind of edus, for kosher, for edus kodesh. Namely, v'ha'ika edus v'dinin of fashis. You have a case, again, where somebody was an eid zomim for dinin of fashis, she'ena isha k'shedala, where a woman is not kosher for that, the hen k'shedim law, but they would be kosher. When it comes, in other words, when you have Edim who was Zayman for Dinim Mominus, where Rabbi Yossi says they can testify for Dinim Nefashis, a woman can't testify for Dinim Nefashis, but they can. So you can't say a general rule, any Edus that a woman can testify for, Sula Edus can testify for. That Mishnah wouldn't work, according to Rabbi Yossi. El Alav Rav Meir. Obviously that Mishnah must be like Rav Meir, which therefore taka, according to the mayor, anyone who's postal as anyone who became an aid zomim in any way, whether mominous or nefashis, is postal for aidus from then on. So that's it, then it fits very well with that mission. So that's it. There is a same mission like Rav Meir.
It's not like Rav Yossi because
now Rav Yossi, because according to Rav Yossi, you would have the case where they're postal for aidus for dinin mominous, but they're still kosher for dinin nefashis. Yes. She can't testify at all because, in general, except in the cases where the chacham allowed her to, but the pasuk says, "Omdu shnei ha'anoshim." The pasuk says, "Two men."
Says nobody else.
Doesn't matter. So the guy is ex. The Eibishter will deal with him. But you have the few cases where the chachamim accepted edus from a woman. You have, besides for edus that a person is dead, you also have a couple of other examples. You have, for example, when it comes to a soita, if a woman comes and gives edus that the woman was mizana with this other guy, then that's valid. There's a couple.
Of course, she could be mizana with another guy, but
not of course. Another woman who sees it can come to Beis Din and testify, and that's enough to make her also to make that woman also to her husband permanently.
Yeah. Okay. But not standing in a moment as a dinner.
Come Bar Choma was very happy now that look at this, because of what her papi came up with, therefore he's caught her now. The agent against him has been discredited, therefore he's not gonna be punished. He got up, Nashke Akare, he kissed her papi's feet. And he accepted on himself that he's going to pay the papi taxes for the rest of his life. Now, what does it mean? On the face of it, isn't that shoshad? Hey, the papi is no, it doesn't matter. You don't have to give shoshad after the case either. Yeah. But there's a few different answers that the Mepharshim give. One of them is your papi wasn't necessarily sitting on the base dinner over here. Rabbi Achabayakov was the one who was judging the case. Rabbi Abba Yaakov was the one who the Reish Kabbalah told to judge the case. Your papi was coming in on the side and giving him advice. What is it, Hanegar? But there's also whatever. So actually, there are Mepharshim who point out we learned in Bava Basra that technically some of the Chachamim are supposed to be exempt from taxes. So therefore, so what taxes are we talking about over here? So there's a few different explanations within that. One of them is they're possible from certain kinds of taxes, but not others. So this Bar Choma accepted to pay those. There could be they were charging him taxes illegally, in which case Takar, a papi, is entitled to take advantage, even if he was sitting on the Beis Din. He's entitled to take advantage of the fact that now they're going to not be charging him taxes, which were anyway illegal. So there's a few approaches like that.
The black male is not considered.
You're saying because if they blackmail die, if somebody saved a dying from blackmail, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, here it's black on ice. He was not really blackmailed. They were charging him the taxes illegally. Where like this, he shouldn't have had to pay them in the first place because of the time of
talk.
Yeah, I mean, because as a time of talk, he shouldn't be paying taxes in the first place. We don't in Bava Basra that some of the common are supposed to be exempt from taxation. Do we have Tamina Chachamim of that caliber? Not necessarily. We learned in Rav Basra, that's primarily Tamina Chachamim who turned off from Muslim. They learn Torah non-stop. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, the Elu Heina Kriven, the following people are considered relatives who are possible to give aid. Achiv, his brother, Vachi Aviv, and his father's brother, his uncle, Vachi Eme, his mother, his uncle from his mother's side. No, his mother from his uncle from his mother's side. His mother's brother. Yeah. Obala his sister's husband, so his brother-in-law. Obala Choisaviv, the husband of his wife's sister, so his uncle by marriage. Obala Choisimai, the husband of his mother's sister, so the same thing, his maternal uncle by marriage. Obal Imai, the husband of his wife, of his mother, his mother remarried and has a new husband, so stepfather basically, V'chomiv and his father-in-law, V'gisoy and his brother-in-law. V'gisoy would be in this case, Baal Achos Ishtei, it actually says, the husband of his wife's sister. You know, and the word brother-in-law in English has more than one meaning. It means your wife's brother, which we had before in the Mishnah. We didn't have that actually. We'll talk about them in the Gemara. But Gisoy over here means his wife's sister's husband. Okay. Hey, all of them are possible leaders. And there's others, by the way. I mean, Rashi points out, it didn't mention the father, for example, because it's blatantly obvious. We're going to learn in the Gemara. We'll learn that. It's not that remote. Your wife's sister's husband. So your wife is like you. So it's like it's as if it was your sister's husband.
But your sister's not like you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but still, it's close enough. Cain. All of these people are apostles. Uvnehen, as well as their sons, the chasnehen and their sons-in-law, as well as one more. You have the choger levader. Then you have one more, which is apostle, namely your stepson. So your wife was previously married and has a child from another marriage. That you apostle to give edus for him and vice versa. So Rashi talks about that on the face of it, that each of these ones that we mentioned in the Mishnah is reciprocal. If you can't testify for your wife's sister's brother, for your wife's sister's husband, for example, then neither can he testify for you. It goes in both directions. So Rashi talks about that, and chergo then is the same as reciprocal is the same as your mother's husband. So why does the Mishnah need to repeat it? So Rashi just says, okay, the Mishnah wanted to make it clear. Tosfos says the reason is that the reason is because we're saying that Choger is Levada, is the only one. For example, as we'll learn in the Gemara, your stepson's son, you would be able to give edus for him. Therefore, we can't list that. So we can't list that in the same category as the other one, because then, yeah, when we say, for example, that your stepson, for example, can't testify for you, and we say Bnehen, it means, for example, he can't testify for your son either, which would be his half brother.
All the descendants.
Well, not all the descendants. We're talking not descendants. Not for all time. No, we'll learn tomorrow in the Gemara. We'll talk about the various degrees of descent. We talk about it briefly in Baba Basra. We learned about Grisha and Shani, Shlishi. We'll talk about it in the Gemara. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Zum Mishnes to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yossi says this that we learned so far is the way Rabbi Akiva learned the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is shown, but the original version of the Mishnah was doidoi, that it means that the ones who are possible to give edus are his uncle, or ben doidoi, and his cousin, or cholodroi liyoshe, and anybody else who is capable of yarshining him, meaning, Rashi says, only relatives from the father's side. The original Mishnah is shown was relatives from your mother's side are not possible, because you're not going to be yarshining from them. So, for example, now, you... Because if the idea is, so the original Mishnah, because the original idea was that the Mishnah Rishonah was that why is there a psula edus in that case? Because you could be negative of it. You're going to give edus for them on something involving money. That eventually, if they win their case, that increases their estate, which conceivably one day you could inherit.
There's money involved. That's
yes,
sure.
Not, it's not directly involved, but indirectly. Yes,
even
okay.
Indirectly.
But the point is, for example, let's say
you could be involved without money.
But no, because with the we talked about this before, that negei b'davar, as far as eders, is primarily only when it has to do with money. If you, we'll see at the end of this Mishnah a different opinion. We'll have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda at the end of our Mishnah. There are other things as well, but we'll see that Allah about Allah
not like it.
So it's strictly money. So for example, therefore, Sardashi gives an example. Let's say we learned in Bava Basra that you could conceivably inherit from your mother's brother, but not the other way around. He could never inherit from you. So therefore, how is he going to? Your mother could inherit you. If the person died childless, Rahman al-Islam, it could go to his mother, fine, but then it's not going to go to her brothers afterwards. His mother is never going to inherit him, actually. No, the inheritance would go to his other brothers, or go to his father, etc. It would never go to her. Therefore, it's never going to go to his uncle. So therefore, the uncle ought to be able to give edus for you. So the original Mishnah of Shina was like
that. Is a will that you...
No, never mind wills. We're talking about the ordinary thing of Yerushalayim. So the original Mishnah Rishonah was like that, but then Rabbi Akiva learned differently, that it includes relatives on the mother's side as well.
So he doesn't earn money.
No, so we'll see. We'll talk about it in a moment. There is a different understanding. The Rambam has a different understanding in Pirush HaMishnayos, and the Mefoshim on the Mishnah take this up as well, that the words B'chol Roy L'Yosha is not part of the Mishnah Rishonah. According to that, the Mishnah Rishonah was strictly Doider Ven Doider. The only ones who are possible to give edus for you are your uncle and your cousin. And then going back to what Rabbi Akiva was saying is not only the ones we listed in the Mishnah, but anybody else who's capable of Yakshin. Anybody who was related to you at the time either when he saw the Eidos or when he's coming to say the Eidos in Beis Din. What if at the time he was a relative and now he's not a relative? For example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say he was a son-in-law, and then before the thing ever happened, so he was your son-in-law. Then at some point his wife died, so now he's not related to you anymore. Now you are lending money to somebody else. Let's say, and he's one of the agim. Does that work? I raise a kosher. Then he's kosher. Because at the time, he's the Eidos. Well, it's an answer. He's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda, after the Mace of Bitter, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Because even if his daughter died, but he has children from her, right? Yeah. Hadrei Zekarev, and he's still considered a relative, exactly. Because even though his wife passed away, yeah, but his children are your grandchildren, exactly. Mishnah continues. So Oyev v'hasone, also a friend and an enemy are possible to give Eidos. What does that mean? Oyev zeshur shivino, a friend doesn't just mean any old friend. It certainly doesn't mean a Facebook friend. It means a friend as in a shushvin, like the kind we learned in Bava Basra, where he sends you presents for your wedding, and it's expected that it'll be reciprocated one day when he gets married. So like he's heavily involved in getting the wedding ready. Rashi says it's only during the time of the chuppah, during the period of the wedding. He's not possible for the rest of his life. Yeah. Sone, and what is the definition of a sone? Koshla dibra im shloshi yom be'eva. If they didn't speak for 3 days or more because they hated each other. Omruloi, however, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, those two are not possible. Jewish people are not suspect that they should testify falsely because they love or hate a person. When it comes to Dayonim, the Rabban and Taka agree that not, because the Dayan needs to be able to be objective, and he can't necessarily be objective if he hates or likes the guy. But Edim, we don't suspect that they're going to testify falsely, which is a pretty serious thing, just because they love or hate. Only when there's money involved.
So in other words, money is stronger than love, right?
Money is a pretty strong thing, you know what? Yeah. You know what? There's a reason why it says in Shema, we didn't clear Shema every day. We say we have to Shema, and you have the famous thing that some people, their money is worth more to them than their life, and therefore the Torah has to stress. Money is a powerful thing.
It's more powerful than love, okay?
Maybe. Because we're saying a person might be willing to take money where he actually has some tangible benefit from it, but not necessarily. Just because you love or hate the guy is not necessarily a reason to think that he's going to go and do such a serious thing as testify falsely against him in advance.
But money for sure.
But money for sure. He might well, and therefore
we testify falsely because of money.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll leave the discussion in the Gemara for Ezra Shem for tomorrow, where we're going to learn what the marker is for this concept that ages, that relatives are possible to give ages on each other, and we'll get into more of the details.
So what's the difference between relatives with money and not money?
The difference is, the Mishnah Rishonah said that, for example, your mother's brother should be kosher to give ages for you. Because there's no way that he could ever be yarshining your money.
As long as there's no
possible way that they could ever benefit from that money, then they should be able to testify. Whereas Rabbi Akiva's version was that no, you can't testify for your mother's brother, and he can't testify for you.
No matter what.
If your mother. The point of the first day, I only have to do with money issues is the problem. But
only if the relationship has to do with money issues. Right.
It's like
Mishnah Sura Kiva, yeah.
I still think there can be a money problem between a couple, a mother's brother and yourself.
But we're talking about, of course, I mean, you could always have an uncle can give presents to his nephew and vice versa, of course, but we're talking about as far as the basic dinim of Yerusha.
I have that very problem. My mother had money that was by my uncle, and he didn't want to give it to me, and it was mine.
It was by him for what reason? Was it something that she deposited with him for safekeeping or whatever? That's different. That's a different case. That's not money that belonged to him in the first place. We're talking about like this. If you have money, is there any way, according to the Dinim of Yerusha that we learned about in Bava Basra, is there any way that your uncle could conceivably inherit? No, there is not. Because if it's your money, yeah, I'm not talking about if it was
it's not my money, it was my mother's money.
If it's your money, is there any conceivable way, al-fi al-akha, that your uncle, that your mother's brother could yarish? No, there is not, because you have children of your own, and if chas v'shalom you didn't, and if a person died childless, we don't need Baba Basra, that then it goes to his father, and if not his father, it goes to his brother.
Money is just about Yerusha.
That's what we said. We're talking about Yerusha over here. Otherwise, you could say you're possible to anybody in the world. Anybody in the world, conceivably, you could have some kind of monetary thing with them. We have to draw the line somewhere.
And we draw it on Yerusha.
So the Mishnah Rishona drew it at Yerusha. The Mishnah Rishona, the original version of the Mishnah, the original Chachamim, drew it at Yerusha.
I'm a partner with my uncle, and he steals money from me.
Partner is a different thing. Partner is a whole different issue involving Shavuos and whatever. Our partners can't testify for each other anyway. They're negei b'davar. We're not talking about negei b'davar. We're talking about even if your uncle lives on the other side of the world, and he has no relationship with him, gzeiras hakosu, that he can't testify for you. What kind of uncle are we talking about? Mishnah Rishona was only your father's brother. And reciprocally you for him. Because conceivably, it could happen that the uncle dies and you yarshin him, or the other way around, and therefore there's a possible conflict of interest over you. Rabbi Akiva came along and taught that no, it's not only that case, also even, for example, relatives on the mother's side are included by the Xeris HaKosu, that relatives cannot testify for relatives, even though there's no monetary nexus over there, but because they're included in relatives as well.
I hear you, what you're saying. That can be money.